Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. We had a quasi-crisis over the weekend in Hawaii, in our westernmost state. I guess I guess Alaska is our westernmost state.
Is it?
I think so, yeah. But Hawaii's way out there. And
far out.
Far out, man. Oh, yeah. And, you know, just surfing, hanging loose. And they got an alert at around 8 a.m. that said a ballistic missile was incoming. And, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill, which is...
Whoops.
It was a mistake, as people probably know by now, due to the fact that we're not in a thermonuclear war, nuclear war.
Nuclear.
Nuclear. But, yeah, it was, I don't know, for 38 minutes, everybody was... Miles, you said you know some people who live in Hawaii, and they were just
My girlfriend's college roommate is from Hawaii and lives out there. And, like, she was saying, like, it was wild. Like, they were calling each other, being like, hey, like, if we don't make it, like, I love you. Like, really, people were forced to examine their mortality, like, in those 38 minutes. And, like, her friend's sister lives in the mainland and is the only one that is on the mainland right now. So she was out there. Her parents were calling her, like, hey, the missile might come. And, like, her sister was, like, having a meltdown, too, because she thought everybody in her family was just about to be, like, who knows what was going to happen. Sounds like a very traumatic situation for people who are involved, all because it was a mistake and we have outdated software to, you know, sort of moderate all this kind of stuff.
Right. And I mean, I guess people could have figured out that it was a mistake when they weren't dead after 5 minutes, which is apparently how long it would take for the missile to get from North Korea.
That's how long? 5 minutes?
Hawaii.
Five.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you'd have 5 minutes.
Woo!
So really use that phone call, that first phone call, carefully.
Yeah.
It's a crazy story. This is something that we covered a lot back at Cracked, how many times during the Cold War there were just these near misses where, you know, one like glitch would happen. They'd leave a tape in sort of the NORAD, like the big defense room that like you've seen in movies where it's like all these screens and stuff. They once left a tape in there that was a drill for a nuclear attack, and they actually like had the president like up in the air and everybody was freaking out and like getting ready to launch weapons. There's this story about Stanislav Petrov, this guy in Russia who, you know, was the guy who was in charge of if there was a missile incoming, he was to like call the command and say launch an attack on the United States. He saw one missile and he was like, all right, that could be a glitch. And then like 12 missiles followed, like exactly in the formation that you would expect coming from the United States. And for whatever reason, he just decided like, okay, I'm not going to end the world. I feel like this doesn't feel quite right. And he was right. It was like a sun glare or something like that.
Wait, what? A sun glare looked like 12 missiles?
Yeah, it like fucked with the
like the satellites that were like
radar or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but he basically saved the world by not doing his job, by failing to do his job.
Could you imagine if like we reacted to this in the wrong way?
Right.
Like, it's like, oh shit, I guess it's going off. And then,
oh, no.
Because it happened in Japan too,
right?
Like on Sunday,
right?
Or I think, yeah, or maybe tomorrow. The timeline is kind of weird, but anyway, yeah, I think it was Sunday or maybe Monday. Anyway, in Japan, that it was another fake warning of like, hey, seek shelter. But they got like the just kidding alert out like within a couple minutes, so it wasn't a full blown like 40 minutes of like existential dread, like the poor people in Hawaii did. But yeah, the guy who did it, Vern Miyagi, shout out to Mr. Miyagi. He felt terrible about the mistake, which I'm sure he would because after hearing, like, you could see there was like a photo of him. He looked like really like, I fucked up so bad. I'm so sorry. But yeah, when you look at the interface that he was using, it's just like literally clicking a link to send one out that's like, they're not like properly organized. I could see how you, if you weren't on your shit, you might accidentally hit that.
Well, no, but, easy on Vern, but I mean, yeah, the technology is just crazy out of date,
right.
Surrounding all nuclear weapons. And it's just the hardware and software. 60 Minutes did a story about it, and you look at it, it's like out of an 80s movie. It looks like an 80s movie, a lot of the technology that they have both guarding and controlling nuclear weapons.
Was he trying to send anything?
He was supposed to do, I think, a test.
A test.
Oh.
He was supposed to do one that says, like, drill.
Right.
Oh, my God. That's like when you accidentally screenshot a conversation and then send it to the person you're talking to.
Right.
And you're like, no!
Right.
You're like, damn, then, iOS 11 glitch.
Then I just, yeah, like, I'm like, it was a glitch. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Photoshop.
That happens probably hundreds of thousands of times every day. Like, and... Yeah, so we shouldn't have technology that makes it possible for people to do that with nuclear weapons.
I mean, how many people you think involved in that, like, took stock of, like, their relationships, too? Like, how many breakups do you think happened after this, like, missile warning?
Right.
Where it was like, yo, honestly, like, in that 38 minutes, I thought, like, of somebody I was really trying to be dating, or, like,
right.
the fact that we're kind of done and I still haven't done anything yet. And
right.
you're like, sorry, this is... I took stock of my life in those 30 minutes, and this isn't going to work out. I feel like there has to be something.
People
out
just come clean with, like, deathbed yeah. confessions.
Someone needs to option this story already.
Right.
I mean, it's a rom-com for 2018.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and Trump was apparently golfing, so.
Right. And just,
I guess,
like,
thank God he's like,
well, they knew,
doesn't do his job.
They knew
very
within
often.
Minutes, right, that it was a fake thing. They told him, and he was kind of like, all right. You know, you could have tweeted something. A lot of people follow your Twitter, so I'm sure you could have probably put some people at ease. But
right,
they didn't send out a correction, right?
Not just for 38 minutes.
38
yeah.
minutes it took him to be like, oh, false alarm.
My bad. So yeah, they're now saying that people will know when it's a real one because they'll send a follow-up being like, and seriously, we didn't fuck up this time. That this is an actual
Then you
alert.
Have to enter a CAPTCHA code.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right, exactly.
Prove you are not a bot. Like, right. What? You're warning me.
Miles, things aren't going so well for the GOP
no.
in the, you know, liberal strongholds of Iowa
yeah.
and Wisconsin.
Western Iowa. Yeah, so Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, who are the senators for Iowa, they did their, like, annual tour where they go to, like, the 99 counties of Iowa. And, like, so naturally they stop off in, like, rural Iowa because it's probably going to be some little, you know, town halls won't be very charged, but yo, did they get a surprise, because at Chuck Grassley's, they were like, the people were sincerely asking. This is, he was in a county that had their Republican registration, they outnumber Democrats 2-1, and Trump won it by 35 points. So he's in, like, Trump country.
Right.
And these older white voters were there to take basically Grassley to task and be like, what do you think? Like, do you think he's mentally stable? And he's like, well, it's not my job to know. And they're like, well, you know, like, what's going on? We feel like you're obstructing the Russia investigation. Like, he was getting questions that were like, you thought
right.
Indivisible was there being like, hey, okay, this is how you're going to ask him.
Right.
And this was seemingly completely disorganized, an organic sort of pushback from voters. Then Joni Ernst, she doesn't do a good job either. She's at a town hall meeting and they are pressing her. Like,
right.
It's, and these are Trump voters. This one woman asks her, like, yo, his xenophobia and racism is, like, basically making our country look bad. And, like, I feel like other countries, we have really bad relationships, and he's not sticking up for, like, other countries. These are American values. And so this is what Joni Ernst's reply is when saying our standing is tarnished and we're not sticking up for little countries.
He is standing up for a lot of the countries that where we have seen
Name a few. Could you name a few?
Yeah, you bet. Norway, is one of them.
Oh, boy.
The room just, like, laughs at
they
her.
They laughed at her. I mean, for real, though. Really.
She was saying he's standing up for a lot of countries around the world.
Right.
And that her answer was Norway.
Norway.
Yeah. You can just hear the, like, nervous breakdown creeping up
yeah.
in her voice.
She knew, like, oh, this is an indefensible
She knows
position.
It's a bad answer. Her brain is like, hold on. And Matt's like,
no.
I'll take it from here.
Right.
So I got this.
That is not a good sign, especially with Democrats trying to take back the House in this year in midterms. Like, when you have people in these, like, really solidly rural areas – being like talking like this, or if, for example, in Wisconsin, a Democrat won a state Senate seat from a really well-known Republican, which was another big shock. Like even Scott Walker, the governor, was like, whoa, whoa, what's going on? Like,
yeah,
it's definitely causing a panic. So off of that, right, there's all these like weird, unexpected Democratic pickups. There's some momentum going. There's a Washington Post article talking about sort of Trump, like looking at 2018, and in discussions about like, you know, are they nervous about the midterms? He basically brought up he's in this article, they say, quote, in private conversations, Trump has told advisors that he doesn't think the 2018 election has to be as bad as others are predicting. He has referenced the 2002 midterms when George W. Bush and Republicans fared better after the September 11th terrorist attacks, these people said.
So it's almost as if he's predicting a September 11th like event will happen between now and those elections.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, but the way it's being told, it's like, well, I don't think it's going to be that bad. I mean, September 11th helped out the Republicans in 2002.
Right. Is he predicting, or is he hedging his bets and like hoping for a 9/11?
I don't know. Either way, that's fucking scary as shit.
It really is, because, I mean, his favorite person is Putin, or at
Vladimir
least
Putin.
Vladimir Putin. He speaks very, admiringly of Putin, and Putin, you know, swept to power and really consolidated a lot of his power by doing a false flag thing where he, you know, bombed a bunch of apartment buildings, killed a bunch of Russians, and then blamed it on Chechenian terrorists, even though it was obviously like journalists have, you know, said, basically yeah, proven that it is
the
it
FSB.
Was done by the FSB, which is their CIA,
yeah,
essentially. So, yeah, that's always been a big worry of mine, is either what happens if a 9/11 organically happens, or if he makes one of those things happen because he seems like the worst person one of those things to happen.
Yeah, because you think about even on the campaign, how he was like, oh, Russia, I'd love your help. Or like WikiLeaks, please show those things, like where you kind of suspect that he knew as he said that stuff. And then when you sort of juxtapose that with him sort of privately being like, well, you know, 9/11 helped out the Republicans. Like,
no, people are saying.
That's a very weird quote.
The thing that a lot of people are talking about right now is that the president aced his cognitive exam.
Yes.
And aced his physical
yes.
exam. He is the same height and body weight as NFL quarterback Jay Cutler.
Oh, wow.
Tall, lithe, athletic Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Same frame, apparently, when you look at them next to one another. That would seem to be physically impossible.
Yeah. Well, I was worried, but then I saw on the internet that the president is big and strong and smart, so I could just check out now.
Yeah,
there you go.
No problem there.
But the president allegedly requested a cognitive exam so he could, you know, show all those people doubting him, the haters, that he is in top-notch condition and is, in fact, a very stable genius. And he got a 30 for 30, not an ESPN documentary. He got a score of 30 out of 30, and
means he's smart.
That I was impressed until I saw the exam. It's like got a drawing of a lion and is like, what is this animal? And he has to name that correctly. There's one hard question where you have to remember like a series of five words a couple minutes after they're said to you. You know, if
but
he could do that, that's
it's weird though, right?
Because
we were saying like the weight that he came in for his height, which is like, so they're saying he's what, 6'3"?
6'3",
239. Which for a BMI score technically puts you just what, 1 pound below obese?
1 pound below obese. What a lucky stroke of.
Damn, interesting.
Yeah. So, that was my friend Chris sent me that this morning. He was like, isn't that lucky? Isn't that amazing?
Wait, but is he even 6'3"?
The internet still says 6'2". Like, that's still what the internet has decided he is.
Yeah, Google President Trump's height. It'll say 6'2". There are lots of pictures of him next to people who are 6'1", and he looks either shorter or exactly the same height as them. There is a picture of him next to Jeb Bush during the debates, and Jeb Bush seems to be at least 2 inches taller than him. Jeb Bush is 6'3". So... Yeah.
6'3" is one of those reach heights.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like Charles Barkley was 6'8", supposedly. Was actually like 6'3".
They're like, nah, come on, baby.
Yeah, so...
That's why I think there may be a little foolery going on, sadly, with that doctor.
Yeah, it's interesting because the doctor, like we looked into him, he was appointed by President Obama. So it's not like he's Trump's crazy...
Like hack, partisan pal, hack. Yeah.
Even though his name is what, Dr...
Dr. Ronnie.
Dr. Ronnie. Hey, Dr. Ronnie. Call Dr. Ronnie. Yeah, that does sound like a Jersey Shore nickname.
Well, Dr. Ron.
Yeah, Ron, Dr. Ronnie.
Ron, stop.
And
went to high school with her.
With Sam?
Sammy Sweetheart? Yeah,
she's what? My mom. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, it was crazy. That was the thing that was like super embarrassing when that show came out. And everyone was like, oh, is this what Jersey like? I'm like, no. Well, Sammy was in homeroom with me.
Yeah, I know her.
Snooki's my friend's cousin. Fuck, all right, yeah.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, get you. Anyway. What super producer Anna Hosey has a look of shock.
What happened? Oh, she.
Yo, she just stood super with producer her Anna mouth Hosey. Agape. Just...
I thought that President Trump had resigned or something like that based on the look on super producer Anna Hosey's face. And it was actually her response to Daniel knowing members of the Jersey Shore cast. There's also Eric Trump was on Fox News talking about his dad, how his dad is colorblind.
Yeah, because he can't be racist.
That he's not racist. Yeah. That was not a cognitive thing. Got it. Yeah, yeah, he said his dad only sees one color, and it's green.
I don't know. We have a clip of that.
Which would be troubling physically.
Yeah, this was on Fox and Friends, I think, this morning.
Yeah. People in the meeting said some things about race and that people are calling him a racist for the last 5 or 6 days. I know you don't agree with that, but is there anything you could bring to this conversation you think is important?
My father sees one color, green. That's all he cares about. He cares about the economy. Right? He does not see race. He's the least racist person I've ever met in my entire life. It's total nonsense.
The least racist person.
Yo, come on.
Who's the least racist person you've ever met?
We were saying that. How can you even give anyone that title? It's right. Ridiculous. I think the only person that makes sense used to be like, well, Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
Was the least racist person to live.
I know plenty of people that I don't think are racist, but even like to give someone that title just seems impossible.
Trump loves superlatives. You know what I mean? So, you know, I was voted the least racist person in my high school. So, like, I feel like it's something he would lie about.
Also, that would normally be, like, a president's child being like, he only sees green would be, like, an angsty thing that, like, the way they would criticize them.
Right.
But in...
Like, when you didn't come to my baseball game, Dad, because all you're thinking about is money.
Yeah, but other things that he needed to nail for the cognitive exam include drawing a clock at 11, what is it, 10 past 11.
Ooh, tricky one, huh?
That's something.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at this quiz, it really goes downhill quickly. Like, the very first category is visuospatial/executive.
Which sounds very...
It sounds pretty advanced.
Complex.
And then question number 2, draw a clock. Question 3, naming. What are these fucking animals?
Right.
Right. And what's funny is the guy who created that test, he's like a Lebanese-Canadian immigrant, and he was like finding it ironic. He's like that he's depending on somebody with all his like Muslim bans and anti-immigrant shit that, oh, like my test bailed you out, or you're trying to act like this test made you seem that you are the most sane and stable person. But he also points out that test has its flaws, and it's also like – it just sort of, it's meant to do a basic, just be like, okay, your brain is sort of working, but it doesn't test like anything psychological or judgment or anything like that.
Yeah.
That guy who made the quiz is maybe the most sweetly naive person I've ever heard in my life, because he was interviewed and he was like, maybe the president will learn from this and soften on his immigration policies. Like, oh, buddy, no.
You think he's going to know you made this?
Cut back to the studio and they're just all like wiping tears from their eyes, laughing so hard.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's probably going to happen. Apparently, Miles, you were saying that Dr. Sanjay Gupta also spoke with Dr. Ronnie about the president's heart health.
Yeah, because apparently like in 2009, Sanjay Gupta had heard that Trump had basically started having these, quote, tests that are actually looking for the presence of calcium in the blood vessels that lead to the heart. And steadily up until this past week, when he had it performed again, those numbers have gone up. And when they get to a certain age, that means you have heart disease. So Gupta followed up with Dr. Ronnie and was like, asking him about these tests, and this is what he had to say. Quote, "It was interesting when I spoke to Dr. Jackson. At first, he said he had passed all the tests with flying colors," Gupta said. "When I asked him specifically about that test, about the calcium, he did then concede that, in fact, the president does have heart disease.
Right.
They're going to be increasing medications, including cholesterol-lower medications, et cetera, et cetera." So basically what they're saying, I mean, one way to look at it is that he's technically within the threshold, a measurable threshold that will put you, say, technically that you do have heart disease.
Right.
But the doctor is saying, like, it's manageable or whatever.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I want to trust this guy because he's a doctor who was appointed by Obama. He's also a military guy, and the people who most benefit from having Trump in power are also the military guys who are actually running our country. But... yeah, like he was specifically asked. People were like, "Wait, so how is he so healthy if based on the diet that he eats?" And Doc Ronnie was like, "Oh, he's just got the best genes I've ever seen. He's the perfect genes. Genetically, he's the best."
It makes me feel like a crazy person though, because like I also, as soon as I hear about this, it makes me start to question: is this doctor on the level? And that makes me feel like a conspiracy theorist. Because,
right. Me too.
Because. If he had given me the information that I believe in my heart to be true, I wouldn't be questioning anything.
Right.
But the fact
right,
that this
right.
doctor who Obama appointed, it's like, no, he's healthy.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. It's fucking weird to me too, man. These genes.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Let's just keep our eye on it. You know, obviously we're not hoping for him to have bad things happen to him.
No, not at all.
But
I just feel like, you know, is this doctor? Is truthful, he really measuring
yeah.
him at
6'3"?
I would love to get my stats because then it would probably yeah. finally put to bed that I am 6'2".
Right.
I
also, yeah, Miles.
That's grown
giant.
Since this morning.
Only 6'2"? I can't believe it. Anyways, all right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. So we wanted to check in with the world of Trump supporters. I keep bumping into the fact that I live in a different bubble than a entire portion of the U.S. population. There's been the fake news awards that Trump released, I think, last night as we're recording this, and
those
people
dope,
were
huh?
so eager to see the fake news awards that they crashed the website where they released them. So, yeah, it's like their equivalent of Obamacare going live and being like, now you can have health care.
It was underwhelming a little bit. I'm surprised because it was just sort of like stories that just had been retracted or edited for like inaccuracies. I thought it was going to be like, and this motherfucker is the worst and blah, blah, blah. It was
right.
just kind of like, okay, well.
Yeah, it was just a handful of stories that media outlets got wrong and admitted they got wrong about the Trump administration.
I've reached a delirium about Trump to where it's so horrible that I actually love it now. Like I can't, right. It's like my body is rejecting more and turning it into laughs. Like I literally... I was sitting at Jitlada the other day, which is a nice restaurant.
Great
some time
restaurant.
To kill. And I started reading an article about him in North Korea and the leaders calling each other like fat and stupid. And I started crying from laughter that
right.
this is our reality and the inevitability of it in America that it would reach this point. And I can't take it seriously because the thing is every generation is narcissistic and thinks that their generation will be the one that ends the world. And
yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen with us. We are definitely close and we definitely could. I just don't think it's going to happen, but it is hilarious the things we talk about every day and the way this super insane narcissist has taken over all of our lives. He's really good at what he does and
yeah.
we can't do anything about it. There's
right.
nothing to do because we become so bipartisan and nobody cares about people. Everyone wants to get rich and it's so horrible that it's the funniest joke of all time.
Right.
I truly,
right.
I cannot get to a real place.
So you think your existential dread has just sort of like morphed into just like, in, like I'm just going to laugh myself crazy. Now.
What else is there to
right.
do? I mean,
right.
this is the worst person ever made is in charge of the world. How is that not funny?
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I think because we have to like read about it every day. I've noticed that in the beginning, I was just fucking ball my fists up. Like, what
right.
the fuck is going
yeah.
on? And now I'm just like, well, look, I have to just observe what is happening in the world. I'm trying to be removed from it and also optimistic that like really the only thing that can try and curb this is like the midterm elections and like, you know, begin to shift Congress. But, you know, I think the system is broken. And that's a whole other show that we can get into.
It is broken. And what's funny, it's weird because, you know, I wanted Hillary to win. But even if Hillary won, still would have been a broken system. No question about it. So it's sort of like maybe it's good that we're all getting aware how broken it is.
Yeah.
But it's also like, oh, man, we're just fucked. We're just really fucked. Go follow your dreams. You know, might as well.
Yeah. And I don't know that. I mean, I think narcissism and the fact that we elected our biggest narcissists at a point where I think our culture is maybe the most narcissistic it's ever been, with, you know, that social media was like built to sort of echo chamber our narcissism and like make narcissism the main value of like a culture. And then we elected our biggest narcissist. But I don't feel like that's a self-correcting thing where we're going to be like, oh, so it's kind of our fault for valuing the stuff that he's good at. I think it's just we're going to look at the institutions and be like, they're the ones that broke, not us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Ex Machina. We built the robot that will destroy us.
Right.
Spoiler.
Let's move on to a happier story. Some California parents were holding 13 children hostage in a house that looks pretty small. I was just kidding. This story is depressing.
Yeah,
as fuck. But
he must have a good take.
No, I really don't.
Jack hates kids.
It is, it's horrifying. I spent yesterday afternoon like touring the town because I had just never heard of it. It's
Wait, you went up to the town?
No. I should have finished that sentence. Touring the town on Google Maps. I'm just kind of getting a feel for what the town looks like
from a sky view.
Yeah, from a sky view, and you know, you can do the thing where you like go up and down the streets, and it's just a weird town.
I obviously just know the headlines because I was too bummed out by the headlines to know much more. They had 13 kids just chained up for years.
Yeah, the basically. Kids are ages 2 to 29. The kids who are adults actually look like children because they've been so malnourished.
Right.
And, yeah, it was apparently part of some religious thing. Their parents were homeschooling them, obviously.
Right.
And apparently you can get a license to homeschool without – getting a visit at the house.
Wow.
But yeah, it's a really dark story. The town is weird. Like I did kind of a deep dive on the town. Their biggest job creator is like Ross Dress for Less or something like that. But their second biggest is a company called Starcrest of California Industries. Mm-hmm. And when you go to Starcrest of California or Starcrest.com, the stuff they sell is so weird. It like seems like it's a shell company for some like weird religious cult. There's a family fun page, and the products that they sell are Jax.
Yeah.
The game with
like the old metal things,
the old metal, this
your grandpa
thing.
Used to step on and be like, damn it,
this website is 10,000% haunted by a baby ghost.
It's
a child
so
ghost.
Crazy. A puzzle and one CD.
Kate Smith,
the Belle of the South or something.
Songbird of the South.
Of the South. So it's just, I don't know. I'm really interested in this town now. That's a guilty pleasure. I'm definitely not saying the town is a haunted, you know, shell for a religious cult that is like Children of the Corn style, you know, just people hiding inside their houses waiting for you to ring their doorbell so they can like cut your throat. But it's just interesting. Give it a look on Google Maps.
It's like a lot.
There's like nobody's in the streets. There are no cars on the streets, which might just be how Google Maps works. But I feel like I always, when I look at my street, there's always cars.
Well, if you do street view, you can usually catch cars driving around.
But it just looks like an abandoned town. Like beautiful. There's like lots of beautiful nature.
Yeah, it looks peaceful because no one is real that lives there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm definitely buying this puzzle though.
Yeah. That puzzle looks great.
I mean, I'm looking on the garden and tools section, and this handy jack extra hold tape for $8 looks like quite a steal.
They sell battery testers, like those old battery testers from like the mid 90s.
Yeah. It looks like backs, like old dead stock stuff from the 80s that they just couldn't sell.
I'm obsessed with this now because this puzzle that I'm buying three of is called Back in the Good Old Days Puzzle, and it's designed to remind you of a simpler time. And it's a person whose face you can't see. They're at a grocery store where there is no cashier, and just like animals running around on the floor.
you know, back the good, old days. So this company that we're looking at that like sells a bunch of products that nobody has bought in 40 years, is the number two employer. It employs 1,000 people in this town, Starcrest of California. What's going on, Starcrest? Let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. I don't know who's buying their insane products like the Owl Stretch Ring Watch or the Crystal Expansion Watch. It's very odd. Yeah. I would do some investigating.
Elsewhere in Washington, there might be a government shutdown.
Yeah.
And this is all tied up in this is sort of how people interact with Trump. So what one of the big details is immigration that nobody can quite agree on in DACA. And John Kelly, Trump's chief of staff, just said that he basically evolved Trump's thinking on the border wall.
And he probably did.
And he probably did. And also talked about how it was his idea to give DACA like the 6 months to allow Congress to fix it rather than just like saying DACA's over, like ICE is coming for you motherfuckers.
It's kind of happening though, sadly.
Right. So he's taking credit for that. And this is like textbook how not to deal with Trump. Like for whatever reason, the people who work for Trump have not learned that you don't ever, ever take credit for, you know, telling him what to do, because then he immediately reacts badly. And our engineer and producer Nick Stumpf kind of put together an outline of just how this has worked with regards to DACA. So in September, Trump has this dinner with Chuck and Nancy that's supposedly very cordial, and they outline a deal on DACA. No border wall is included. Everybody's happy. They take, like, photo ops, and there's just mutual love everywhere. And then, you know, Chuck and Nancy, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi sort of crip walk out of the office and are just, like, celebrating for the cameras, and Trump is like, fuck that, the deal's off. I didn't agree to anything. Then more recently, Dianne Feinstein like owns Trump in this January 9th meeting in front of the press, gets him to agree to a clean DACA bill. January 10th, the media sort of crowed and made fun of him. And then January 11th, Trump is just fully dug in on this like hardline garbage position where, you know, he starts talking about shithole countries. And now we have John Kelly sort of taking a victory lap about how he influenced Trump on immigration issues and says the 6 month DACA extension was something he ordered. And, you know, on the wall, he says, quote, certain things are said during the campaign that are uninformed. Yeah, so that shit is like, he's not going to be happy about that. And that's, and we're already seeing that Trump has like, is basically shit canning this bill that was going to sort of extend things and, you know, avoid a government shutdown, right? Like, there wasn't there some sort of bill to extend things moving?
Well, it seemed like, Dick Durbin and Lindsey Graham had come to a, like a bipartisan solution to things, and that's when like shit just started falling apart, and the two like it's become a moving target to even know what Trump wants anymore.
Right.
Like on how to solve this. Like, do we avoid the shutdown with just a, like a limited spending bill, but also add chip funding to get Democrats on board? The problem
What's
is like
chip funding
for the a child health insurance program. So yeah, basically the I think in October the Republicans just like, we just let chip funding lapse. So there are a lot of kids who rely on the government for health insurance. Like, these funds are drying up rapidly, and now there'll be very vulnerable children who don't have access to health care that they need.
Right.
And this seems like a very easy thing to agree on. It's like, we want, you know, poor kids to be able to have insurance or access to health care. But it's become like this bargaining tool. And now like it's become this a game of chicken between the Republicans and Democrats of like, who's going to blink and let the government shut down or not pass it, you know, avoid a government shutdown. And it's ultimately looks like the Democrats are digging in. They're like, look, you have the Senate, you have the House, and you have the White House. So don't tell us we're obstructing it, because you know, this is clearly you have a ton of infighting on your side of things that you haven't sorted out. And we're here trying to say, like, we want, you know, we want CHIP funding paid in full. And we also want a clean DREAM Act.
So we don't want kids to die. And we want people who have lived most of their life in America to not be deported to countries.
Yeah, and people who are contributing to the country, too. And I think it's crazy, too, because now, you know, they're trying to act like these kids aren't, you know, worthwhile people contributing to American society. And that's completely false.
Right. But because Trump feels like people are not giving him his proper respect, he's kind of stopped that bill from going through and is basically gumming up the works.
But also, it's no surprise that after John Kelly's like, I evolved the president's like piece or his position on it, that this morning he's like, ah, no, my vision of the border wall has never changed or evolved. So you should have known, buddy.
I would love to live with that kind of blind self-confidence. I mean, that's all these stories come back to the same thing for me. It's like he can just say something and then later say that I didn't say that thing. I always said this thing, and enough people believe him.
Right.
And it's like, it's just, that's what I'm, you have to take the positives out of horrible situations. And all I'm doing is learning how to be. And, I hope I maintain being a good person, but it's nice to know that if I'm a bad person who consistently lies, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's a good takeaway.
It's really good.
I mean, it would be fun. Like, the evil part of me, just think of, like, if the stakes weren't so high, like, the kind of mind games you'd play with Trump to get him to do stuff you wanted and just, like, fuck with other people. Like, dude, watch, I'm going to get this shit done. And just go in there and be like, dude, that was such a good idea, man.
Right.
And then get him to, like, declare.
Well, it's all very basic stuff, like how you deal with a difficult boss is you get them to think that a good idea was theirs, their idea.
Yeah.
And you compliment the shit out of them about having come up with that idea. This is kind of a great insight into how the people around Trump are sort of learning about how to deal with him. Lindsey Graham was asked if Trump was racist, and his response was pretty telling, I think. I think we have the clip of that.
Why don't you ask me, is he a racist?
That was my next question.
Okay, why don't you ask me?
Do you think that he is a racist?
Absolutely not. Let me tell you what. You could be dark as charcoal and lily white, it doesn't matter, as long as you're nice to him. You could be the Pope and criticize him, it doesn't matter, he'll go after the Pope. You could be Putin and say nice things, and he'll like you. Here's what I found. He's a street fighter. It's not the color of your skin that matters. It's not the content of your character. It's whether or not you show him respect and like him. And if he feels like you're off script, you don't like him, he punches back. And as president of the United States, the only advice I can give you is that the street fight's over.
He mentioned, he goes, he's such a bad person. Lindsey Graham's a bad person because he's like pretending to be kind of liberal, but he's really a deeply conservative,
I'm like, what the,
person.
I know. It's so weird when he says woke shit. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about, asshole?
Liar. Also, why are they asking a white person if he's racist?
Right.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He's a street fighter, man. Which one do you think he is? I think he's Blanca.
Yeah.
Or Zangief. Maybe Guile. Actually, Guile makes more sense at all. Yeah.
But did he think that was a defense?
I don't know what the it was like.
Because
partially,
like the two defenses.
Someone
that
who
we've
fights
heard
against anyone calling him out is not racist because he fights against anyone calling him out, even though most people calling him out are not white.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about?
Right.
That's the funny thing about, like, you don't get to say you're not racist.
Right.
Like, if people are calling you racist, you're racist. That's like, it has nothing to do with what you think you are.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, like, the better version of that answer would have been like, look, yes, he's racist, but also here's the thing. Even if you're black, he will like you if you just kiss his ass.
Yeah,
so,
right,
like,
yeah,
there's a way to bypass his racism if you're just a sycophant.
That's right. a much better way to say it.
Yeah, like, which I think is what he was trying to say without, like, you know, sort of having a repulsive effect on his base of, like, Republican people who don't want to hear anyone in the GOP call him racist. So he's like, no, he's not. But let me say this other shit that is kind of fucked up about his ego. But not full, you know, not a full throated being like, yo, he's racist.
I think what he was saying is basically, yes, but I want to keep getting the kickbacks I get as a senator, so no.
Yeah.
Like, he's a piece of shit.
And then there was an implicit threat against the media there at the end. Like, you're fucking with a president who will destroy you and, like, wants to destroy you, so stop saying things he doesn't like, was essentially, I think. Like, what, when he was like, the street fight is over and he's the president?
I thought he was saying that he doesn't have to. That street fight mentality is no longer needed. Look, I only speak in outdated 90s video and 80s video games, yeah. So that's how I relate
to the rest.
I was also
pretty impressed.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Yes, we're back. And you know me. I'm all about a big proponent of cannabis, adult use, medical use, and otherwise. And Prop 64 in California did a great thing, right? It created legal adult use marijuana, recreational. We basically made recreational weed legal here. But another great part of Prop 64 is that it also allows anyone basically to have their past marijuana-related offenses or crimes reduced or expunged completely, which is wild because they're saying like, look, weed is legal. And I guess now that we know that, you shouldn't have to be completely punished for any kind of crimes that you committed in regards to possession, especially because a lot of people got like felony possession for weed and can't get jobs, can't get loans and things like that. So this is like a very great opportunity for you know, society sort of change these kinds of things and allow people to kind of start over anew, especially because African Americans in California were 5 times as likely to get arrested for a marijuana felony than white offenders. So these constraints disproportionately affected them. And now we're showing like, hey, this is part of the new era. We also believe that you shouldn't ruin your life because of you're holding some weed.
Right. And how many people are eligible for this?
I think nearly like 1 million people or something. I think it's roughly 1 million Californians are eligible, according to the Drug Policy Alliance.
There is nothing more stupid than the fact that weed was illegal. Like,
yeah.
Alcohol is legal? Like, right. Are you fucking kidding me? I think we should ban alcohol. I don't like anyone who drinks a lot. Obviously, you shouldn't ban anything. You should let people do whatever the fuck they want and fuck up their lives and do whatever, deal with anxiety the way they want. But what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Like, if anything, like, weed just increases the economy of, like, Amazon downloads and like food delivery. Like it's just like, it's just good for the economy. And who cares? Like, but also I feel like just the idea that drugs are illegal is just part of this puritanical myth that life has to be this utopia. Or people are always like struggling to accept that life is not the utopia they want it to be, whether it's like socialist or religious, like Christian or something like that. It's just so offensive and horrible that people won't talk about what adulthood actually is, which is very painful. And we need drugs.
Let's be real. Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to know that, you know, that people are thinking about this, too, because it could have just as easily been like, hey, weed is legal, and not thought about like, well, hey, if weed is legal, what about all these people that are in jail or like have completely had their lives fucked over because they have to be like, hey, were you ever convicted of a felony in a job? And you're like, yeah.
It's so stupid. It's like in Germany, like if people had felonies for being Jewish. You know what I mean? It's like, what are we talking about here? Like, of course you should expunge it. This should never have been a crime. We made a mistake because we're scared of the truth.
So this is us. Yeah. It's the government or at least the state of California making good on that.
And are there law firms that are going to, or, you know, funds or charities that people can look into? I don't know. We don't have that information, I guess, right now. But
I'm
hoping somebody is like dedicating themselves to just helping people get their marijuana related offenses reduced or expunged.
Well, I think that's sort of the next step is making sure that, you know, public defenders offices and legal aid providers can like actually talk, tell people that's like, hey, just so you know, like I'm looking through the records. I saw you got a felony like possession thing. You can actually petition to get this changed.
Yeah, like an innocence project for people who got arrested for bullshit weed-related offenses.
I think it's funny because when you go get your weed card, all the doctors are like, Dr. 420 and all that stuff. Yeah. So now there's going to be like Lawyer 420 yes, or like 420 Esquire.
Right.
Just everything is a chance for branding.
The Weedle Network.
The offices of Green Bud and I don't know, some other fucking...
Damn, real stoner over here.
Seriously, guys. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.